The Youth's Instructor, December 6, 1894. Words to the Young. Christ is the sinner's substitute and surety. He has obeyed the law in the sinner's place, in order that the sinner may believe in Him and grow up into Him in all things to the full stature of a man in Christ Jesus, and thus be complete in Him. Christ has made reconciliation for sin, and has borne all its ignominy, reproach, and punishment. And yet, while bearing sin, He has brought in everlasting righteousness, so that the believer is spotless before God. The time comes when it is asked, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" And the answer is, "It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again." He who has the spotless robe of righteousness, woven in the loom of heaven, in which is not a thread that sinful humanity can claim, is at the right hand of God to clothe His believing children in the perfect garment of His righteousness. Those who are saved in the kingdom of God will have nothing of which to boast in themselves. The praise and the glory will all flow back to God, the giver of salvation. But there are many who claim to be children of God, who are resting their hopes upon other dependencies, rather than on the blood of Christ alone. When urged to rest their faith wholly upon Christ as a complete Savior, many reveal the fact that they have faith in something that they think they can do. They say, "I have a great deal to do before I can be fit to come to Christ." Another says, "When I have done to the uttermost all that I can do, then the Lord Jesus will come to my help." They imagine that they have a great deal to do themselves to save their own souls, and that Jesus will come in and piece out that part which is lacking and give the finishing stroke to their salvation. These poor souls will not be strong in God until they accept Christ as a complete Savior. They can add nothing to their salvation. The Israelites were required to sprinkle the doorposts with the blood of a slain lamb in order that when the angel of death passed through the land, they might escape destruction. But if instead of doing this simple act of faith and obedience, they had barricaded the door and taken every precaution to keep the destroying angel out, their pains would have been in vain and would have testified to their unbelief. When the blood was seen upon the doorpost, it was enough. The salvation of the house was assured. So it is in the work of salvation. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth from all sin. It is not now the work of the sinner to make peace with God, but to accept Christ as his peace and righteousness. Thus, man becomes one with Christ and one with God. There is no way by which the heart may be made holy, save through faith in Christ. Yet many think that repentance is a kind of preparation which men must originate themselves before they can come to Christ. They must take steps themselves in order to find Christ a mediator in their behalf. It is true that there must be repentance before there is pardon, but the sinner must come to Christ before he can find repentance. It is the virtue of Christ that strengthens and enlightens the soul, so that repentance may be godly and acceptable. Peter has made this matter clear, where he says of Christ, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Repentance is as certainly a gift of Jesus Christ as is forgiveness of sins. Repentance cannot be experienced without Christ. For it is the repentance of which he is the author, that is the ground upon which we may apply for pardon. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that men are led to repentance. It is from Christ that the grace of contrition comes, as well as the gift of pardon, and repentance as well as forgiveness of sins is procured only through the atoning blood of Christ. Those whom God pardons, he first makes penitent. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Christ has paid a dear price for the mansions which he has gone to prepare for those who believe in him. Those who shall inhabit those mansions must be fitted for the society of heaven by the righteousness of Christ and by the work of the Holy Spirit. The preparation for heaven must be made in probationary time, and there must now be submission to the work of the Spirit of God on the heart, in order that the soul may be brought into communication with heaven, and may be educated to enjoy the realities of the eternal world. The righteousness of Christ, which will be imputed to the believing soul, will be the title by which his entrance into heaven will be assured. Through the influence of the Spirit of God, the believer is transformed in character. His taste is refined, his judgment is sanctified, and he becomes complete in Christ. The love that was manifested toward him in the death of Christ awakens a response of thankful love, and in answer to sincere prayer, the believer is brought from grace to grace, from glory to glory, until by beholding Christ, he is changed into the same image.